Amen. And we know he won't, because he can't pass by his children. Amen. You're part of him. He could never forget you. You're inscribed in the palms of his hands. Isn't that what the word says? How thankful we are to know these things, because it's just not a knowledge. It's something that settles way down deep on the inside that holds us and keeps us. Would you bow with me, please, Heavenly Father? So thankful to come to you. We are the most blessed of the people of the earth because you have come to us, because you have called us to you, called us out of this world, called us to believe, called us to receive, called us that your life might come in us to become you. Oh, Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege to be called sons and daughters of God. Your offspring came out from you, having part of us eternal, part of us, Father, in our soul that never did begin. And that's the only thing that could be that is you. So, Lord, even today, quicken these things deeper inside of us, would you please? We come to present ourselves to you now as we meet under the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Meet with us, Father, we ask. Would you please take your preeminent place here now in each one of us? Father, we commit the service into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. Here we are. Thank you, Lord, right? Y'all spending less time on the news all the time and more time in the Word? It's a good place to be, isn't it? You know, you can go on any news source you want, and you can't take it. And you see this realm that we're living in, this physical realm. There's a guy on YouTube, Geoengineering Watchdog. Okay, they want to kill us through the climate change. Okay, they want to kill us through medicine. Okay, they want to kill us through food shortage. Okay, they want to kill us because Russia hates us. Oh, okay, they want to kill us because China hates us. And you listen to some, and okay, EMPs are emanant from China. Okay, we're just this far away from World War III. So you look at, do you know what we're living in? A realm of death in this physical realm. Mm-hmm. True? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it can't touch us. Yeah, we are so blessed because we have eternal life in us. And that eternal life in us calls us to connect to the eternal life that has called us to him, to become part of him, and to shine forth in this day for his glory. So how blessed we are to know him in the power of his resurrection. And now he's making us, you know, the fellowship of his suffering. And he's also making us conformable even unto his death. How blessed we are, brothers and sisters. So I know here the word that we're feasting on, and the word that is not just a word in church and a word to hear and a word to go home and forget. It's something that stays with you. It's something that clings to you. It's something that comes inside of you. It's something that works inside of you and actually is a very, very most important part of you. So what we're in today and what we're feasting on is the most exciting thing I've ever been part of in my whole life. And it just gets better and better week by week to me. I pray that it does and has that effect on you guys also. Would you stand with me? Let's just two little verses for a text this morning in Isaiah chapter 60. We know this from the text Brother Branham used for his message, Shalom, 1964. Verses 1 and 2, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Do you hear that? Now, what did Jesus say in John 17 in his prayer? He gives us something that we might become one. What did he say? I give them my prayer. Is what? Glory. Oh, so here it says, look at that. Would you imagine? He prayed for his glory to be upon us, and he says, the glory of the Lord is risen. Hey, there it is. And where is it? It's on you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise, where?
Upon thee.
And his glory shall be seen.
Upon thee.
Hallelujah. Thanks, you may be seated. Those are shouting words, aren't they? Those are glory words. Those are happy words. Those are smile words. Those are peace words. All of them. You know, Brother Branham talks about that when he begins his message, Shalom, and he said, have you noticed? Now, pay attention to his words. He says, people are pressed into light. Laura, that means she receives what he gives. Right? That means we're recipients of grace and recipients of the working of God. We're recipients of the working of God. So we've been having a little Bible study back and forth. What is the bride? She's a receiver. She's the only one that can receive all that he gives. Other people will quit receiving because they don't want. Years and years ago, Claire, going back, I remember we brought this up, that people have satisfaction levels, don't they? Okay? Yeah, some people, don't need any religion, totally satisfied. So God says, if you're satisfied, okay, right? Unless you are a seed, he won't let you be satisfied. But that's his work in you that will not allow that. Do you understand? Grace upon grace. Okay, then you go farther. You see people, I'm satisfied being Catholic. Don't need any more, don't want any more. God says, okay, I'll let you enjoy it. Unless there's some people there that can't enjoy it. Why can't they enjoy it? Because there's something inside them stirring and say, hey, there's more. Right? Then there are people satisfied being Baptists or evangelicals, Methodists, Presbyterian, call it what you want. And they're satisfied they being that, and they don't want any more because they're happy. So God says, okay, if you're happy, stay there. But there's some people that can't be happy. Why can't they be happy? There's something inside of them that says, I can't be happy. There's more. And isn't it interesting in those people that God sees a hunger and God puts a hunger? He's always there to feed and to raise up higher and to bring higher. And there's these people that won't be satisfied until they receive all that he has to give them. And how blessed we are, because here, again, going back to the message Shalom, he says, now look at, they're good people. They're nice people, but they're pressed into darkness. You can see it all around us. But on the other hand, arise, shine for the Lord, okay, to you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. So we are so blessed to know these things. Not only, it's a matter of these days and what is happening, at least inside me. I pray with all my heart it's happening in all of us. It's not a head knowledge. We've referred to this as a journey, and boy, is it. It's a walk in that good old lantern walk that the prophet said, you take a step in the light, and then the light moves a little farther. But if you don't take that step, the light won't move, right? So you take a step and then more light, another step and more light. And it's just not a knowledge. It's something burning on the inside. Now, Brother Branham describes this so beautifully in the Message Shalom. He says, you know, I'm standing here preaching. This is not exact words, my memory of it. But he says, I can feel the blood pulsating through my veins. But he says, behind that, I feel the Holy Ghost pulsating through my being. And there it is. There's something pulsating on the inside of us, bringing us into more fellowship, bringing us into something deeper. Because we're walking in what we see. It's that lantern walk. You're taking a step, and there's a movement there. And there's constant move in a direction forward. That every single step takes us closer, not just to him, but in him. And not just towards him or not just towards home, but there's something happening in us that's making us more like him. Now, there's something we've spent so much time on John 17, even this as that God is answering the prayer of his son. What's he doing? That's what he's doing. What's the prayer of his son? That they may be one, Father, as you and I are one, that the world may know that you sent me. And the glory that you gave me, I gave them. And so here we read, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So, oneness. Now, what does that mean? Michelle, what does oneness mean? What does it mean to be one with Jesus? She's shy, and I'm giving her a hard time. I told her I'd call on her. Ron's going to answer. That's part of it. That's really good, but see, we have a human conception of what oneness is, and I think our human mind sort of binds us into a place that keeps us from proceeding forward, and that I think we look at oneness as agreement. We're in agreement. Husbands and wives are one. Okay, they become in agreement and they start seeing things the same way. And that's a good part of it, but that's not the ultimate. Because when you look at this, and you look at the oneness Jesus is praying for, as you and I, our Father, are one. That's what he's, right? One like that one. Brother Branham describes that one place. He says, what is that? He's the anointed word. The word in the body of flesh, and that's it. So let's go further. Okay. Oh, Natalie, thank you. What? Say that again. Oh, that's quite... Would you stand up and shout that out? That's beautiful. Say it again. That means you can't tell the difference. Nobody's online. Oh, they are online? Hi, online. God bless you all. Okay. Natalie just gave a perfect answer. It's an indiscernible difference. You can't tell the difference. So he became me that I might be sort of like him, that I might get better, that I might be a little bit kinder, that we might be gooder, okay, that I might grow in my faith. That's how we think, right? But dear Karen taught us a song, and I thought she was crazy. Where did she get that? Do you know what? This just shows you, I told you, how far the Lord has brought me. Because somebody came to me when I was at church at Rapid City. Well, this guy was a kook that came to me, and I tell you what, he was the kind of person that would come to you, and he was married, but he met another girl, and he wanted to marry her, and he had a deformed fingernail on his index finger, and so did she, so that was a sign from God that they were to get married. So I say to this person, I say, you know, God won't tell you anything that's contrary to word. Do you know what his reply was? Well, obviously it isn't then, is it? Well, how do you even answer somebody like that? You know, so obviously what I'm hearing isn't different than the word. You just hang up your head, and if this is how your brain works, and this is, there's no hope for you. But it was him that came to me and said, hey, we're attributes of God. Do you know, that shows you, I didn't know what he was talking about. Do you see where I've come from? Do you see what confusion, what is the message? I didn't have any clue back then. That's why it's incredibly important you go beyond a pastor. You get into the Word. You listen to those messages. You open that Bible, and it's your walk with him, and if he doesn't call you, you're sunk anyway. Okay? It's a growing experience with every single one of us. Right, Ron? Isn't I'm constantly moving, constantly growing. So when somebody spoke to me, and it had to be that person, we're attributes of my God, and I looked at that guy and said, if you're an attribute of God, I'm sunk. Because I don't want any part of that, right? You know, this is the guy that was married and kicked his wife out because she was smarter than him, locked the doors, threw out all the furniture in his house so the kids could roller skate and ride their bike through the house. And he wouldn't go to work so he could listen to tapes all day. Very super spiritual, religious spirit. And I worked and worked and worked and got him a job, and he wouldn't go to it. Deceived me the whole time. So, religious spirits all around us, you know what I'm saying? And they can quote the word, but they don't have a clue what it says. So, things in every one of us, I've had my hurdles, believe me. You know, we all have. We all have, you know, you think, I know it all. I don't know anything hardly. Every single week, I bring to you what he speaks to me. And I've told you that before. I'm not way ahead of you. I'm with you. So where we are is where you guys are, I am. And we're all here growing together. Are you growing, Derek? Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? It is. It's growing all the time. All right. So today, back into Hebrews is what I've been wanting to do. And Hebrews, I just want to say this. We all know where we're heading to in Hebrews 6 is the chapter of perfection. I find it incredibly interesting that Peter, Apostle Paul, right into the people who are Hebrews, all they knew was the law of Moses, bringing them into Christianity. Brother Greg, thank you. You got it going, huh? Oh, you didn't get it going. Okay, it's not going. So, right into the Hebrews that knew the law of Moses, and all they knew was God did. And they changed it totally from God did to God does. And what he does is all through his Son. And the whole book of Hebrews is God does. And he's present tense. He's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, the same as what Brother Branham would say today. And what he's doing something. And find one other book written in the Bible where what we would call a chapter, because it wasn't a chapter, but that much thought would go into perfection. And yet here we are in this book of Hebrews where we've been, and he spends a whole chapter on it. Isn't that phenomenal? So what is this? Why is this? Why am I spending more time on this? As week after week, we're sort of approaching this but never getting into it, because there's so much surrounding that I want us to see why. So today I'm going to spend my time answering this question: what is the purpose of Jesus' death? Why did he die? And I'll be very honest with you, I'm probably one of the thickest headed, slowest. I'm the chrysanthemum? I'm the mum of the flower world. I'm the latest to bloom. I'm the dimmest bulb on the tree. But he does get through to me eventually. So seeing these things, and I mentioned this last time to you, seeing these things, I'm listening to the prophet different than I ever have in my whole life. Because well, you go through seasons. We all do, okay? And I've gone through seasons in my life where you put on the messages and I told you about, okay, I know about that. I'm out of denominations. There isn't any more. No reason to listen to it. And you get sort of a mindset that, oh, it's all about this. I've done that. I'm done. And then the Spirit hounds you long enough and you get into it. And I never even heard that before. And it's all new. And that's what's happening now more and more and more. And now when I'm hearing this more, and I'm not hearing William Branham, and I'm not hearing somebody yelling and screaming. I'm hearing the Spirit of God crying out and pleading with his people. And I'm hearing that like I've never heard it before. And I'm realizing more and more that the reason the Holy Spirit had to scream and cry to us is because we weren't getting it. And why weren't we getting it? Do you know why? Because we were seeing in the Bible exactly what we were taught by the denominations to see. And Brother Branham warned every one of us. He says, you can't bring your denominational thinking into this message. Now, some of you were born into it, but still, it's a time and allocation of his word and revelation that he brings us more into it all the time. So here we are, and I'm going to answer this again. Why did he die? Now, if you have denominational thinking, you will be satisfied, okay? If I believe in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, I'm done. If I give my life, if I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I'm done. Now, in reality, there's some truth there, because Brother Branham says, if you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You'll have eternal life. Okay? So I'm not questioning that part of it at all, because Brother Branham says there'll be millions, billions, we don't know, outside the city. They'll be there. They will have eternal life. And when you look around and you see people in their condition, you say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And mean with every sincere. You want them there somewhere. Will they be inside the city? living will they be that tabernacling place of God. That's the difference, where he will not let you rest. That's the difference where he will not let you be satisfied, where others become satisfied. That's where he says, I'm going to take you farther. And then it's so amazing. Actually, that's very real when it comes to, again, I'm referring to 2 Peter chapter 1, allotted faith, okay? Faith is allotted by season, we know that. By church age, we know that. But here, in this day, Brother Branham says some very interesting, and we've defined redemption there beautifully because of him, taking us back to what? Where we were before Adam fell in the Garden of Eden. What was that? Adam was a perfect image of God. What was the difference between Adam and Jesus, Pete Snow? Well, what was the difference between Adam and Jesus? Derek?
Jesus was the only begotten son.
Correct. And Adam was the what? Okay, so in character and what essence of what Adam was.
I just want to come. You better get on with it. Don't ask me. I can go on this. I'll just open something and it's like.
Okay, yes, Greg. Yeah, but Jesus, but in Adam, he had to be what he was. Because he had to have Eve come out of him to fall. We know that, right? But in essence, Brother Branham talks about that little light coming out. And then he says he noticed that light from amber turns white, a little less deity or something like that. But it's still perfect reflection. He still was G-O-D, small G-O-D of this earth. Correct? Right? So in a way, what was difference in essence between him and God? Nothing.
And that's what they said to Jesus. Make yourself the Son of God, making you equal with God.
There you go.
Saying you are God by saying you're the Son of God.
Okay, so where do you come in with this? Derek?
You say that to the people online, because I think
they're here. Yeah. In John chapter 5 is what Derek was quoting. He says, the Pharisees calling, when Jesus says, I am the Son of God, he says, you make yourself equal with God. So there's where Adam was, okay, a son of God, equal with God. Well, what about me and you? Okay? Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. So here, why? The question is, why did Jesus die? And why is the prophet screaming out so much in this day? And what kind of judgment is there for those who, in Brother Branham's words, and I'm going to quote this again, COD, Volume 2, Why the Foolish Virgin Goes Through the Tribulation Period, is because they reject the atonement in its fullness. What is the atonement in the fullness? Well, what is the blood, the life, the word? The fullness of the word, the fullness of the life, the fullness of his blood, and they reject that. Well, that's a pretty stiff penalty, isn't it? Okay, here we're going. Ephesians 1. So amazing and so, you know, do you ever get tired of reading your Bible? You never do. It's always life, no matter where you come from. So Ephesians chapter 1, we've been there a million times. So we know we're chosen in him. We know we're predestinated unto the adoption of children. That's placing, but that is also maturity. Okay? Now right there, why did Jesus die? If we just accept him as our personal savior and quit. Okay? Let's go on. and predestinated to adoption. 7, we have redemption through his blood. Redemption, going back. We're going back through his blood. Forgiveness of sins, riches of his grace. Look at that. Because of that, wherein? Verse 8. See that? That's a big word. Wherein? Because of that, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Why? Because you're accepted in the beloved, because you are being redeemed, because you are taken back, because he made you accepted in Jesus. Because you're in Jesus, because of his blood, now he's taking you to places you never knew. In understanding of things that will affect your being. Did you hear what I just said? Understanding that affects your being. It's not head knowledge. It's a life. It's a knowledge of life. Okay? Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom. And see that word prudence? Greek word there is, I like it, it's understanding. Okay? And here we go. I have to go back. Because here, 9 and 10. Having the weast, okay? Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to that which seemed good to him, which good thing he purposed in himself with respect to the administration and completion of the epochs of time, okay? Allotted, or 2 Peter chapter 1, to you who have been allotted faith. Who allotted, what does that mean, Laura? Huh? Yeah, as given a portion at a certain time. Okay? That's exactly what 2 Peter chapter 1 says. With respect to the completion of the epochs of time, to bring back to the original state all things in Christ. That is so phenomenal because that is the message of the hour in one verse, and it's in the Bible, and it's in the Greek, and it's perfectly there. Now, we have stated that Christ, the mystery of God revealed, is Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. In fact, the whole message of the hour is Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. So, here is what I want to see. What is his goal? What is his the reason for his death. Now, I'm finding more places. You can help me out in this because this is the most amazing. You know, you can see my book has been falling apart for years. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. That's why we started out Hebrews 6 and we still haven't got there with quotes from Christ, the mystery of God revealed because Hebrews 6 is Christ, the mystery of God revealed. That's what's going on. It's in the Bible portion of the message, okay? So here he says, paragraph 536, he died for this purpose because he wanted the head personal headship in the bride. Paragraph 596, the reason of his death was the vindicated word of God inside of us. Here's page 90, and it's my book, and it doesn't have the paragraphs, so I just found this, okay? Page 90, let me read it. Another one, why he died. So over and over and over in this message, Christ the mystery of God, we are reading why he died. Why? What was the purpose of his death? So here we go. Page 90, hang on. Why he died. He's talking about, you ever heard of the term kingdom men with kingdom hearts and kingdom eyes? That they look at and they deny everything but the word of God and there they stand and through that word they overcome and through that word they over, bypass every obstacle that Satan throws at them and they stand victorious? Kingdom men? Huh? Do you think that's what we have to be? Huh? Are we getting there? I think we are. Okay, so he's talking about Joshua and Caleb, my kingdom men. Caleb and Joshua being thoroughbreds by the word of God, know God, said, I give you the land. He says, we're more than able. There you go. Are you more than able to take the rapture? Huh? Yes. Why? Because it has nothing to do with you. Right? We're more than able. Daniel, correct? Are you more than able to take the rapture, brother? More than able. Okay. He says, it depends on where you're born from. Speaking of Joshua and Caleb. If you're born of the word of God, God's word has a preeminence in his church. That's what he died for, to have the preeminence in you, just like Joshua and Caleb. Why he died. Okay? So there's another one. Page 104, my old-fashioned book. Seven seals. So he could express himself in you. That's why he died. Okay? That's why he died. Over and over and over in this message, Brother Branham is telling us the reason for his death. Why he died. So you could go up and shake the pastor's hand, go out and get, now we'll talk about let's what really interests us. Hey, did you watch the Twins last night? Come on, you guys. Where are the kingdom people with kingdom hearts whose rejoicing is in their Lord? He's expressing himself. That's his purpose. That's why he died. He says, the church becomes the word. He says, it was the anointed man. Now it's the anointed people. Now they're anointed to the word. She's going to stand there in the splendor of him. That's why he died. Okay? Now he goes on and on and on with this. So, Hebrews chapter 6 is Christ, the mystery of God revealed. That's why he died. Now, we know just some scriptures, okay? Common ones. Go with me in your Bibles, okay? Everybody open them up. Hebrews 12. Just a couple ones so we can go. But I want to see, there's two sides of this. Hebrews 12, okay, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our, okay, so there's going to be a finisher. Christ, the mystery of God, is the finishing. Hebrews 6 is the finishing. Not just the beginning, not, oh, I have faith in Jesus, I'm done. Jesus is going to finish my revelation. He's going to finish his work in me, the finisher of our revelation, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why did he die? He had a vision of you back where Adam was, son of God. How dare you call yourself the son of God? Derek, that was beautiful. Making yourself equal with God, John chapter 5, okay? Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, you have this, go with me there, please. Epigenosko, experiential knowledge. What is experiential knowledge? It means you have a participation in the thing that you're learning. It's for Lilia learning to play the cello. Can you learn the cello by reading a book? Huh? Can you learn to play the piano without a piano, Laura? Okay, you have to interact. You have to do with it, and that's what epigenosko is. You have to interact with Jesus. Okay, you just can't read and you just sing. It's something he comes in you and becomes inside of you the very thing you're talking about. So I love how Brother Abraham says this. I don't believe the message, I am the message. Now that's exactly scriptural, okay? I don't have faith, I am faith, because we have to become the revelation of what the words that we're carrying. Does that make sense? Okay. Now here he's talking about this. We have obtained like precious faith, obtained it through the experiential knowledge of God, partakers of the divine nature. Then he goes on and he says that reality of God working his word out inside of me, add, and then we go to that wonderful verse in 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Do you know what he's saying? If I have the stature of a perfect man, it shows the revelation did what it was supposed to do. You there? Why did Jesus die? So that I can be the stature of a perfect man. It's not a challenge. It's not an I dare you. It's not, oh, let's see how far you get. It's no, there's a revelation working in my heart and my soul that shows that revelation is alive and working inside of me. Weiss does it beautiful. If these things are in you in superabundance and your rightful proportion given by God, this is what you are. This is what he died for. Okay? This is what he is. Come on, we have to see this today. We have to see why Jesus died. We have to see that it's our finishing. We have to see the reason of his death was to take me all the way back to Adam. Son of God. Oh, what was your word again? No indiscernible difference. I love that. That was very good. Bless your heart. Indiscernible. What's the difference between Jesus and you? I can't tell. Is this real? Is this why he died for this to happen? Then I can't be satisfied. I can't frustrate, like Paul says, don't frustrate the grace of God. Okay, so we have to go on with him. Now, for if these, verse 8 again, okay, if these things are in you, it shows the revelations there. But verse 9, but he that lacks these things is what? And cannot see afar off and hath, read it out loud with me, forgotten that he was purged from. Why did Jesus die? If I'm lacking these things, I forgot why he died. If these things are not in me, I forgot he died for this thing to happen. And I'm not giving glory to God. I'm not giving glory to Jesus. I'm not giving, exalting his name because I'm not, hey, can you imagine the frustration? Do you know what I did? Do you know what I went through to redeem you? Do you know what pain I went through? Do you know what kind of suffering I went through? Do you know what I, and here I died. Oh, Pete, okay. So you kicked the bucket this afternoon and you left Zoe money to go to college and all of a sudden, there's your inheritance, honey. Now you're taken care of. Don't worry about it. And she says, oh, I can't go. I don't have enough money. Oh, no, I died for you to have this. Well, yeah, I don't believe it. So all the thing is the funds are there, they're sitting there, but I don't want to tap into it. Huh? Because I don't really think Dad really provided for me that. Isn't that the same way it is? How is Jesus feeling? Okay. Now, hath forgot that he was purged from his sins. Now, verse 11 is always very interesting to me. So for an entrance shall be ministered into you abundantly. An entrance. You look into that Greek there, trying to understand, so an entrance shall be ministered. In this manner also, through the revelation, through God opening his word, you're going to go all the way there into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through this manner of revelation, God opening his word, God allotting faith, you're going to go all the way back. Okay? Now, here, page 111. Brother Branham says this very thing. He says, now the bride going back with him redeemed, back to the original Adam and Eve again, it's left behind. They look back at, look at the cross. Oh, this is so perfect. They look back at the cross and see that death has been pain. And now by faith we are resurrected with him, sitting in heavenly places, looking back at what redeemed us, waiting for the husband to come march home with him. There you go. There's right there is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9 and verse 11. So here we are, Hebrews 6, all the word of God, Christ the mystery of God revealed, it's all together. Now, here is what's alarming to me. And here's where it's making a difference in me as I listen to the messages of the hour. I am not hearing a yelling man. I'm not hearing somebody. I'm hearing the voice of God screaming out to the people, you don't even know why Jesus died. And you're frustrating the grace of God because you are limiting what he died for. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Daniel, if I limit what Jesus died for and won't go there or won't allow anybody else to go beyond, do you think there's judgment coming for me? That's a dangerous thing. All right. Don't look sad, please. God is amazingly love. Okay? So, I can go right here. In the book of Hebrews, go back to chapter 6. Okay? Here we are. And you have to take the verses because Paul is writing a letter. And Greg, if you sat down and write a letter, you don't just write a sentence and then go over, you know, the other county and write another sentence. And you have a thought process, do you not? And you have something that you want to convey in that letter, do you not? So here in Hebrews 6, what is he talking about? Going on to perfection. True or not true? That's what the whole thing is about. That's why we're here. Now, look at 4 through 8. Why is this here? Why is it in this chapter? For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the word and powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them to repentance. In other words, you don't stop. It's a very dangerous thing to stop. In fact, you'll be punished if you stop. Because you're frustrating the grace of God. Why did Jesus die to take you all the way back? He didn't die to leave you halfway or half-baked, half-done, half-finished. Are you with me? Is this making sense to you, Daniel? Okay. Now, so here's what he's saying. Look at verse 7, for the earth which drinketh in the rain and comes oft and brings forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. Why did he send rain? Why did he send the Holy Spirit? Okay, to quicken his word, to bring it. And that which bears thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing. What is bearing thorns and briars? I went to church. I said the liturgy. Let's have a drink. Let's go to the bar. Are you with me? There's no godliness. There's no holiness. You didn't even go on to sanctification, let alone the baptism of the Holy Ghost. True or not true? Why did Jesus die? That's my question. To take us all away. Now, same thing in Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we disbelieve willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice. Okay? Why are these things in this book? You cannot stop. Okay? Look at verse 38, 10:38. Now, the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, what does it say? Okay. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back what? Now, those are strong words. So we're here right back again to the rock of offense, to the stone of stumbling. He's always there in those things, in the heart of reason, in the heart, well, I don't want to serve a God like that. Well, make your own. Okay? But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, I'm going from there here to Brother Branham's message, is your life worthy of the gospel? So let's go back into the Gospels, and we're going to two places. I'm going to have you open up to Luke 14, and then I'm going to have you hold there, and then I'm going to have you go to Matthew 22. Because he goes, very interestingly, so we got two places we're going to be looking at. Okay, this is the message, the text that he used for, is your life worthy of the gospel? So what is it? The king wants a supper. Now in Luke 14, now Brother Branham starts this, he starts reading from Luke 14. He says, now if you want to look at this, this is also in Matthew 22, and he refers back and forth several times. Okay? Now, that's why we're reading this, because he uses this, is your life worthy of the gospel? A certain man, okay, made a great supper and bade many. What is that? What is that great feast? What is here? Who provided it? And why? It's the message of the hour. Is your life worthy of the gospel? Are you feeding on what God has given us? Has he vindicated his word? Has he proven that it's not William Branham, but it's him? Has he said, this is me? Okay. He says, come and eat, for all things are now ready. And everybody, look at that. Verse 18. And they with one consent began to make excuse. Well, I'm too busy. Okay. Now, this hurts. Okay? Why did he write it this way? Because it was meant to hurt. Sometimes we need to be hurt. Sometimes we need to be cut and say, Lord, I need to examine myself. What am I doing? Okay. Verse 21, so the servant came and showed the Lord these things, that the master of the house, being angry, said, go quickly into the streets, into the lanes, and the cities, and bring in the hither and the poor and the maimed and the halt. I think Brother Branham refers to this in an indictment. And I said, that's me. That's how I got in. Okay? He went into the highways and got the worst of them. Made a place for me to come. Okay? And the Lord, verse 22. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and hedges and compel him to come into my house shall be filled. Look at verse 24, read it out loud with me. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Okay. Okay, now, Matthew 22, you have the same scenario. And here we find out that it is a wedding feast, not just a feast. It's the marriage, and the marriage is taking place, invisible union of the bride of Christ. And the people are still, I am too busy for the word. I got things more interesting to me. Do you? Okay, this gets pretty serious, doesn't it? Go into the highways and the byways, verse 22, verse 9. Bid, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king saw, came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man with no wedding garment on. You had to have the wedding garment to eat at the feast. And he said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, you must have missed it. We'll come and get you one. Don't worry. Is that what he said? Now, that's what we would do. And in the world's mind, that's what anybody that would be nice, right? Nobody likes Jesus. They don't like why he died. They really don't like him. They only like the parts of him that they like, and then they create their own. Okay? When the king, verse 11, came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man without a wedding garment. He said, friend, how'd you get here? What did the man say? Nothing. What did Jesus say? Verse 13, read it out loud. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast in him outer darkness, and there shall be weeping, for many are called. So what did Brother Branham say? What is that place of darkness that he was cast out into? What is darkness? Out of the presence of God, out of the sight of God. What did he say this was? He cast him into the tribulation period. Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Why did Jesus die? And is it important in the heart of your Savior who gave his life for you that you go and finish the course? And do you see that if you don't, according to the word of God, that punishment awaits you? Do you see that he's very serious? I'll never forget this, you guys. Preach, how many years did we preach on adoption? And when I was in my study, over and over, he would say, you know what? The Spirit of the Lord is deadly serious over this. And now I'm seeing in the scripture why the very purpose and the very reason of his death was that you will be totally filled with him. And if you say, I don't want to be totally filled with you, I don't need to be totally filled, I'm satisfied, just I'll go apart. It's like Zoe saying to Pete, I can't go to school. I don't believe Dad did that. You know, that was just a nice thought that he had. But he really didn't provide for me to go, so I'm just going to have to be a waitress all my life or a motel cleaner or something like that. And Pete, how would that make you feel? Do you know how bad I worked? Do you know how much I worked? Do you know how I sacrificed to give you that money and here you won't use it? Right, Daniel? Is this starting to make sense to you? Huh? Why did Jesus die? Did he die to leave you half-baked, half-done, half-finished? And if you just say, I'm satisfied, I don't want any more? See, it makes a difference in where you are and how you're going to spend your remaining days on earth here. Do I really believe this? Well, who wants a God like that? I'll just go make my own. Man is really good at building their own golden calves, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I can just go shake the pastor's hand. I can go forward and give my life to Jesus. I'm done. I don't need any more. But according to the Word of God, it doesn't appear to be that way, does it? So, here again, this is why Hebrews 12 is so important. Okay, so we're back to Hebrews, and where we've been so many times. We're not come to the law. We're not come to our own doing. We're not coming to our own efforts. We are coming to a spiritual place of perfection. Now, okay, but you are come, verse 22, to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Now, here's something. Last night in the study with me, this, okay, you come to Mount Zion, under the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Do you know this is exactly the pattern of the rapture? You are entering into a spiritual place before you go into the actual place. Is that making sense, Jer? The rapture is a revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. And if that isn't taking place, your body won't follow. It has to happen on the inside first. So Hebrews, listen please, Hebrews 12, 22 is the precursor to Revelation 21. I saw the bride. Where was she? She was that city. Here she enters the city in her spirit. So it's the exact same pattern right here. Am I confusing you? That before the actual comes, the spiritual, it goes from the inside to the outside. Making sense, Pete? Okay. So Hebrews 12, 22 is equal to Revelation 21. And then the goal of perfection is a people in Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21. And here again is the reason of his death. Okay? Why did Jesus die? Now, the 13, 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through what? Through the blood. Through the blood, what? Of the everlasting covenant. What's the everlasting covenant? I will write, it's an mediated word, it's a God word, God to you word. Christ, the mystery of God revealed, personal. Ephesians 1:10 equals Christ, the mystery of God revealed, equals Hebrews 6 equals Hebrews 13. You with me? Why did Jesus die? Make you perfect, okay, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through that blood, through a mediated word, through a covenant word, make you perfect, finish you in every good thought. No, that thought is going to have a work in your life to make that thought a work. The thought becomes the work. The thought becomes a life. The thought becomes your actions. Are you with me there? Okay. Make you perfect in every good work, not to think, but to do. And what will you do? His will. You will have the same. There you are, Natalie, again. Indiscernible. Is that what you said, honey? Indiscernible. You and Jesus. You are going to be the same as him. I came to do thy will, O Lord. Okay? What is the adoption scripture? John 5:19. I came, I'm here, I can't do nothing without you. What is the bride's going to finish up? Why did he die? What is the blood shed for? What is the everlasting covenant for? To work in you, to do his will, work it in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. I've said this many times. I hope you're catching this. Do you know, Brother Daniel, you're going to have the same testimony that Jesus has? Huh? Think of that. Really? Isn't that amazing? Are you shaking your head no? Well, you're going this way. You're supposed to go that way. Yeah. Same testimony Jesus had. Think of that, Brother Greg. I only do those things that please him. Do you know the bride's going to say the same thing? Huh? Why did Jesus die? Are you understanding? We can't leave half off and be content. We can't leave half-baked and say, I'm good enough. You can't say, oh, I believe the message. God sent a prophet. That's not good enough anymore. It's God in you doing his work, finishing his work. Finish why? The purpose of his death in you to bring you back to Adam before the fall. And what happens to those who don't? We read it. How did you get here at this wedding supper without a wedding garment? Oh, I'm sure someone will finish. No, bind him. What? I provided food and you wouldn't come? I provided a feast and you wouldn't eat? You had too many things that interested you more, like a cow? Come on, wasn't that one of them? I bought me a cow. I bought me some land. I bought me a business. I did this. Is your business in this world keeping you from feasting on the Word of God? Huh? Well, I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I'm too this. Well, wait till he hears. Wait till you say that in his presence. So what did Jesus say? Bind him head and foot. Cast him into outer darkness. Brother Branham says, you go into the tribulation. Now, no wonder they hate this prophet. Have you ever noticed that those who leave, have you gone to just check up on them? Do you know that they're gone into sloppy grace again? Huh? They throw everything in a grace bucket. And they created their own God, the one that they like, oh, my God's much nicer than yours. Right? It's Brother Vail again that he always used to teach us what was, there's not one of us that can't out-God God. I can create a God much nicer than him. Right? And I've said over the years, go ahead. You can do anything you want. What can I do without Christ? Anything you want to. The seven church ages did. All religious. Didn't we do wonderful works? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? They knew his name. What did he say? Okay, I got another point here that I'd love to make, but I'll save it till next week. No, I won't be here next week. It's this whole point. All through the scripture, it's the inside to the outside, and it has to happen on the inside, so it'll happen on the outside. Yeah. This is the rapture. We are called to New Jerusalem. What is happening on us now is God ministering his word. God, Pam, comes to Pam in her room, not with Ron, just you and him. Michelle, just you and him, nobody else. Michelle, I need to write my word in your heart. Right, Janelle? But when he writes it, it's done. And when he writes it, it's life. And guess what? Pete, you'll have the same testimony as Jesus. I only do those things that please him. Why did he die? do you see more and more the scriptural reality? Huh? It's either the bride or the tribulation. Why? Brother Branham, again, going back to COD, why is the foolish virgin? She has to be punished. Matthew 22, you don't have a wedding garment. How did you get in here? Well, you didn't come to the feast. But now you just want to come and have the blessings? No. You rejected what I offered. Can I say that again? You rejected what I offered, and you'll pay for it. All right. I think that's very important to know these things and to have these things set forth. Hebrews 6 cannot happen without Jesus. It can't happen without Jesus being glorified. Okay? He that lacks these things, stature of a perfect man, has forgotten that he was purged from his sins by the blood of Jesus. You forgot what that blood was shed to do. You with me? The blood was shed to take you all the way home in his image. Now, we might leave things half done, but Jesus doesn't. Okay? Our God doesn't leave things half done. Brother Daniel, that makes sense? People need to know that, brother. They can't be satisfied. I accept him as my Savior, I'm done. Right? They have to know why he died. And there it is all through the scripture. Now you go, listen, I challenge you. Challenge means a good challenge. I'm asking you, let me put it that way. Let's get into those tapes. And when you get into those tapes and you hear the prophet, you're going beyond William Branham because he was taken over. And you hear the Spirit of God just crying out to the people. Huh? Quit your creeds. Why did he say so much on the creeds? Because the creed says, I believe this, and that's it. And it stops them. And when it stops them, it stops the work of the Holy Ghost. That's why creeds are death. That's why over and over, get away from the creeds and dogma. Get away from the thing that stops the Spirit of God from continuing on with his work. Now, does that make sense? Okay. All right. Musicians, would you come? We'll get into Hebrews 6. That's okay. I'm spending time on purpose because Greg, you know this. Okay. Greg, how many enjoyed when Greg preached last time? What did he preach on, Pete? Josh, did you like what Greg preached on? How many like what Derek preached on last time? What did he preach on? What about him? Oh, yeah, what about her? Do you understand? And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just showing us all. That's where our human brains work. You know, I read this one time and it was just phenomenal. And it was a Christian thing, but he said, you have to understand when you preach the sermon, by the time you walk out of the door, okay, they will remember maybe 5% of what you said. And an hour later, what did Don preach on? I don't know, but it was good. True or not true?
Yes.
So that's why when I see these things that are important, I have to spend week after week after week after week after week and approach them. I do that on purpose, because I know how the human works, and I know how the spirit works with us. Right off, Sheen? Takes us a while. Yeah, takes us. And he knows that. So Greg, good sermon, whatever it was. Right, Ron?
Do you remember?
Do you remember? Yeah. That's just humans. That's just the way we are. It's not critical. That's just observation. Yeah. So if I do it over and over and over, sometimes that's why, how many years did we spend on adoption? When I start hearing it back from you, they finally get it. And sometimes that'll take years. That's why you can't preach one sermon on it and be done. Let's do, like Derek, let's do a series. That's why, how long have I been in Hebrews 6 now? Or not Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Months and months, right? Now, if I asked you right now, Natalie, tell me about Hebrews 3. Yeah, I think it's in there for sure, because it's between 2 and 4. Yeah. Right, Janelle? That's, yeah. Okay. Who's got a song? See? Charity does. I can. There you go. God's word is, would you stand with me? His word is working mightily in me. His word is working mightily in me. No matter what life's circumstance or what I feel or see, God's word is working mightily in me. Amen. Heavenly Father, oh, we love you. Father, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for what you've done in this day for us. You called a man who didn't want to be called. You filled him when he didn't want to be filled. You made him put a heart in him to obey even when he didn't want to. It's your sovereignty. As he said, I was only standing there when you came down. I would rather be a trapper. But Lord, why would you choose a simple Kentucky hillbilly? But it's your choice. It's your sovereignty. And you found somebody that you said, let me in, just I'll take over and use your vocal cords. And how you've done that down through the ages, but now you're looking to me and you're looking to us and you're saying, I'm going to do that to them too. A people fully taken over by God. That's what you died for. That's the reason of your death. And we will not, by grace, frustrate the grace of God. To you be all glory now, and all honor, riches, and power in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.